song. It's in your hymn book. And it's one of my absolute favorite and tells us how much God gives such grace and such love to us. And can it be?
Amen.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his father's throne above, so free, so infinite his love. At the earth, our grace, his birth he was for the truth. Amazing grace, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? No condemnation now I taste, Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, I'm living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Oh, I approach the eternal throne, and then the cross to cross my own. Amazing love, how can it be that both my God should die for me, and I, my God, should die for me?
Praise the Lord.
Amazing love indeed, that my God should die for me. All praise to God. Thank you, Sister Marge, for the song, for the introduction. Happy Sabbath, family.
Happy Sabbath.
A lonely place. A lonely place. We, as Christians, who have been called out by God out of darkness into his marvelous light, we often find ourselves in a lonely place. Because the Bible tells us, Christ tells us, that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so often we find ourselves like Jonah. We have a message of hope, a message of urgency. But often we find ourselves sitting in the boat trying to find a comfortable place, trying not to get noticed, and trying to stay out of sight, be in the background. As Christians, we often find ourselves in a lonely place because those of us who have tasted, who have been exposed to Christ, we are supposed to go and share Christ with those around us. But often we are overcome with fear. Often the enemy keeps threatening us. We are overcome with those threats. So therefore, we do not go and share Christ with those we are supposed to share him with. share Christ with, a lonely place. If you recall in the parable with the woman at the well, when she encountered Christ, she did not go to seminary, but she was so excited that she would experience Christ that she went back to the city and told everyone, come see this man. For those of us who are sitting here, I want to share this with you. Maybe you find yourself in a lonely place because you are afraid. We have something in common. Because me standing in front of you, I have my fears too, especially standing in front of you guys right now. But I'm grateful to God for his faithfulness. He promised he will answer when we call on him. He promised to give us his spirit. And by his spirit, we are able to overcome our fear.
Amen.
Maybe you are afraid because you are looking to self. Don't look to self. That's the worst thing we could do. Because one or two things will happen when we look to self. Either we become puffed up, thinking like we are good, God is using us because we have some skills, or we become discouraged because we're looking at ourselves and we're thinking, man, I'm not good enough. Who am I that I should speak to the people? But we need to learn to give all these things to Christ. Peter tells us, cast all our cares on God because he cares for us. So today, if you're struggling, if you find yourself in a lonely place because you are afraid to share Christ with others, let me put this illustration to you. Let's say somebody is afraid. Maybe they haven't been convicted that they have a message that people need to hear. Let's say that person is walking down the street. A group of people are meeting in a building. At the bottom of the building, a large group of people are meeting. While he's passing through, he noticed like on top of the building that there's a fire. While that fire is going on, that man, without hesitation, not even thinking about his fear, all of a sudden would run to the people and tell them that there is a fire. Why? Because he knows he has something that those people need to hear. It's the same for us. We have a message that God has entrusted into us that people need to hear. But often we have not been convicted that what we have to share, that people need to hear it. How convicted are you that the message that we have, that Christ entrusted into our care, that people of this world need to hear it, especially in this time that we are living? There's a saying that says it was the worst of times, it was the best of times. For us as Christians, we are in that predicament right now. We are living in the worst of times, we are living in the best of time. The worst of time because we know the enemy will do everything he can to destroy us. The best of time because we have an opportunity to see God's power at work in this world that we live in. Before we go into a prayer, I just want to share this with you. Aren't you glad, no matter what you are going through today, that last night was not your last night? God extended us mercy for another day. Even if we are going through something, even if we find ourselves in a lonely place, I want to share with you that God has something for you to do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your favor, your love, and your mercies. Thank you, Father, for your abiding presence with us. Lord, as we spend a moment, I stand in the midst of your people, calling out for you, Father, because you are indeed faithful. So I thank you, Lord, for seeing fit, for extending mercy, not only to us, but to me, that I could impart your words with your people, Lord. So I pray that you may erase me completely. Speak through me, speak for me, Lord. And I also pray, oh God, that as bringing my loaves and my fish, I pray, oh Father, that you may bless it, let it be what it needs to be. So that at the conclusion of our talk, Lord, each of us may receive according to our needs, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 A lonely place. Sometimes we might be tempted to look at other denomination, other people to see what's going on, and to try to change, to deviate from what God has given us. God has given us such an amazing message to share with other people. There's no reason for us to add to it or deviate from it, no matter the temptation.
Amen.
Inspired writing from prophets and kings tells like, it was not by mighty manifestations of divine power, but by a still small voice that God chose to reveal himself to his servant Elijah. He desired to teach Elijah that it is not always the work that makes the greatest demonstration that is most successful in accomplishing his purpose. Not by eloquence or logic of men's hearts reach, but by the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit, which operate quietly yet surely in transforming and developing the character. Open your Bibles with 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's go into the word. 1 Kings chapter 19. When you have it, please say amen. First Kings chapter 19, I will be hearing 1 through 10. Let us read. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." Then as he laid and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel of the Lord touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been zealous for the Lord, God of hosts, for the children of Israel. I have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to have my life." Many of us at the present time, we are finding ourselves in lonely places. Maybe you find yourself in a lonely place, not just emotionally, but spiritually and even physically. COVID was the opportunity for some people to move away from the body of Christ. COVID was just an excuse for some. But some of you, you are truly going to a lonely place. The enemy has threatened you. The enemy has put you under attack. You're going through spiritual battles that you can't even explain. No matter how much you pray, it seems like God is not answering you. But God wants to tell you today that he is right there with you.
Amen.
Even if you find yourself in a lonely place, maybe you find yourself in a lonely place because somebody at church said something to you that caused you not only to move away from the body of Christ, but you've completely abandoned God, your source of strength. Today, I want to remind you, if you find yourself in a lonely place, do not despair. Just like God did for Elijah, sent the angel to feed him. God is seeking this opportunity to use me as well to remind you he is with you along every step of the way. There are three things I want to share with you guys, then I'll sit down. Three tactics that the enemy used to cause us or to tempt us to go into a lonely place. But what I want you to know, there's a difference between being in a lonely place in a place of solitary. There are two forces. The enemy wants to tempt you to go into a lonely place so he could molest you, so he could abuse you, so he could tear you down. But God wants to take you to a lonely place so he could strengthen you, so he could encourage you, so he could love you. In Mark chapter 1, the Bible tells, like, very often, even before daybreak, Christ found himself in a solitary place. He was praying. seeking God. So today I'm here to remind you, if you find yourself in a lonely place, let God use that opportunity to strengthen you for the work that he has for you to do.
Amen.
It is not a time to go into a lonely place to try to seek and to do things on your own. We cannot fight this enemy on our own strength. As a matter of fact, if we try, we've already lost. But if we fight him in the strength of God, we are assured of victory because Christ already has a victory over him. In the Bible, we are told that he is like a roaring lion. And Peter told like, no, seeking whom he may devour. Have anybody here ever heard a lion roar live? Anybody? I haven't either. I've done some research, like when a lion roars, it could be heard up to 5 miles away. When a lion roars, it roars so that way it could like, you know, let predators know that that hits its territory. The lion roars also not only to mark its territory, but also to scare others away. One of the tactics that the enemy uses is fear. He uses fear to cause us to go into a lonely place. I remember years ago, I listened to a sermon by C.D. Brooks. He talked about how he was at a zoo. Then he noticed, and while he was at the zoo, the lion kept on pacing back and forth, all while the lion's eye was on him. So he asked the zookeeper, what's wrong with this lion? The zookeeper said, that's the nature of the lion. It's keep looking at his prey and looking for a weak spot so that way he could attack. So it's the same with us in our spiritual walk with the Lord. The enemy's always, as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us like, you know, even when he attacked, when he tried to attack Jesus, Jesus responded with the scriptures. What did the Bible say? The Bible tells us that he went away, but he was looking for another opportunity to come back. So it's the same with us. He's always looking for a weak spot in our lives that he could use as an entrance, as a way to destroy us. So like first thing is that he uses is fear. But before we continue, let me put this into the right perspective to understand what Elijah was up against. Turn with me to 1 Kings 16. 1 Kings 16, verses 29, we'll do 29 to 34. And this is what it says regarding what Elijah was up against. So when we're talking about fear, it's not imaginary. What he was up against was real. So 1 Kings 16, verse 29 says this, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Did you catch that? Up until that point, I don't know after him, but it says he did evil than all the kings who were before him. He was the most evil king. And it came to pass, 31, it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshiped him. Then he set up an altar for the Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He had his foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his younger son, Segub, he set up its states according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. So now, you guys know the story. Ahab not only did evil, but the Bible tells us, like, you know, as if that wasn't enough, he married Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel were the original Bunny and Clyde. They did so much evil that they led the people into, like, you know, against God, into idol worship. They worshiped the Baal. The people believed that Baal was the one who sent the rain. Baal was viewed as the god of storms and the god of fertility. So remember, like, Elijah went and stood in front of Ahab the king. Since you believe Baal is the one who sends you the rain, At my word, there shall be no rain, not even dew on the ground, for 3.5 years. So as soon as he departed, what God used Elijah, the word came to pass that for 3.5 years, there was no rain, no dew. So now, since you believe that Baal is the one who sent you the rain, let's see what happens when no rain comes. Cry unto Baal. What I want you to remember when we talk about, like, Elijah went, one of my favorite Bible stories was the showdown on Mount Carmel, where Elijah stood against the prophets of Baal, and he called on the name of the Lord, and God answered by fire.
Amen.
So you would think, after all these things that the Lord did through Elijah at this moment, like, fear wouldn't overcome him. He would be able to stood against Jezebel. But you got to understand, Jezebel is the definition of evil. Actually, we did a search trying to find out if is anybody named Jezebel. But the only name that came up was, like, under, like, movies and, like, shows. I did not find any parents who were crazy enough to name their daughter Jezebel. And I'm so glad. But however, there's still the spirit of Jezebel in our day. Revelation 2:20 talks about Thyatira. I said, like, you know, what I have against you is that you tolerate that Jezebel, that spirit that's leading us into idolatry. When we're talking about fear, we have to constantly look to God. God is so amazing that he made preparation, because he knew that would be one of the tactics that the enemy would use to cause us to fear. So turn with me, if you will, to the Bible, so we can look at, Isaiah 35, verse 4. When we talk about, like, God made provision, people believe that there are more than 400 sayings where God says, do not be afraid. Because God wants us to know, like, as long as he's in our midst, there's nothing to be afraid, because he will be with us no matter what the enemy throws at us. Isaiah 35, verse 4. The word of the Lord says this. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will be with you. The God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. In John 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Then Psalm 34, verse 4. This is a common passage. Psalm 34, verse 4 says this. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. See, what I want you to understand, the enemy uses fear tactic because research shows that when we are afraid, we are not capable of making sound choices. Research says that as parts of your brain are revving up, others are shutting down. When the amygdala senses fear, the cerebral cortex, area of the brain that harnesses reasoning and judgment, becomes impaired. So now it's difficult to make good decisions or to even think clearly. That's why the enemy wants to use fear as a tactic to cause us to flee from God, the same way he used Jezebel to cause the Lord's servant to be afraid. This is what the servant of the Lord says regarding Elijah running. He says Elijah should not have fled from his post of duty. He should have met the threat of Jezebel with an appeal for protection to the one who had commissioned him to vindicate the honor of Jehovah. Had he remained where he was, had he made God his refuge and strength, standing steadfast for the truth, he would have been shielded from harm. If simply Elijah had called on the name of the Lord, God would have kept him, even at the threat of Jezebel. The other tactic that the enemy uses is doubt. He will try to cause us to doubt God's promises, perhaps leading us into believing that God will do this for this person, but not for me. God is God on the earth, but maybe God is not God on the sea. God is God here, but God is not God there. God, the same God who parted the Red Sea, is unable to part my little trouble of a red soup. God is powerful in some places, but not all. But we're the same people that quote, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. But somehow we feel like there are some challenges that we face that the enemy causes us to doubt whether or not God can get us through this situation. And the same way that Elijah, the same men of God who stood to those prophets, the same men of God who stood in front of the king and proclaimed God's word, the same men of God who went to that widow and that oil did not run out, the same men of God who raised the dead, now at the threat of Jezebel, find himself fleeing for his life. The interesting thing I want to share with you is that sometimes we may have a mountaintop experience, and the very next moment we find ourselves at the bottom. It's not because God is not able, but because the enemy has deceived us into like not believing or doubt the God that we are serving. And sometimes we try to take matters into our own hands instead of calling on God. So what I want you to do, just like the father in the parable, when he went to Jesus, Jesus said all things were possible to him who believed. But the father recognized in himself and said, Lord, I do believe, help down my unbelief. It's the same for us. When we are struggling with the spirit of doubt, we could call on God and ask him for help because he's been there for us so many times before. Why should we doubt him now? We know that he's faithful. We know even if the enemy is causing us to flee to a cave, to a lonely place, that God who is faithful, he will not leave us. As a matter of fact, God is consistently working on our behalf. As I shared with you guys before, God is more interested in our salvation than we are in our own salvation. The Bible tells us like he has done everything possible, that at the end, when we look at it, if we're not saved, we can't blame God. We can only look to ourselves. So today, like, whose report will you believe? Will you believe God's report or what the enemy is saying about you? Will you let the enemy use doubt as a weapon to doubt God's ability, to doubt God's faithfulness? Or will you refute him? Will you call unto God and say, Lord, please help me. That spirit I know is not from you because I know you have helped me before. There are so many times God has brought us through times and times again. But this time, somehow, we feel like this situation is different. God has not changed. He's still the same. The same way he saw you through yesterday, he will see you through today. But just don't allow the enemy to cause you to doubt him. Another thing that the enemy uses is distractions. Many of us, we could confess, even in our best, we are distracted. Like maybe in the morning, you started, you're doing your devotional. Then you say, oh man, there are dishes in the sink. So you leave your devotional post, then you are attending to dishes instead of spending time with God. And from doing dishes, maybe you're distracted by something else. I'm not even gonna talk about the phones. We talked about that already. We all can confess we're struggling when it comes to these phones, how much time we spend on these things. Yeah. And that's one distraction that the enemy uses. Even godly things could be a distraction. There are some of us, we are leaving God, but it's not surprising because the Bible says in the last days, there'll be people will give heed to deceptive spirits. If you look at some of these religious things, like sometimes we might become attracted to these things because they appeal to us, they look like a Hollywood production more than a religious gathering. Because sometimes people might say cue the lights. You look at it, it looks like a performance. The whole congregation is dark. Uh-huh. And at the podium, whoever is in charge and the light is shining on that person. And I'm like, isn't God a God of light? What happened to the rest of the congregation? So there are some of us we are tempted to move away from the truth of God, from God's word, to follow a deceptive spirit led by the spirit of Jezebel. That Jezebel spirit is self-focused, is deceptive. That Jezebel's spirit wants to lead you to lead us into idolatry. That's why when Elijah stood against her, she got up, she threatened his life. She said, like, you know, listen, if I don't do the same thing you did to my prophets by this time tomorrow, then may God deal with me ever so severely. If you continue in the story of the Bible, you know, the true God dealt with her. And she died in a horrible way. Ahab himself, he died in a horrible way. And guess what happened? The dog licks his remain. So what I'm trying to tell you, if you find yourself in a lonely place, believe God that he'll take care of you. Because God is jealous for his children. God is jealous for his holy name. So we have to be careful as children of God, and we have to discern what the Spirit is saying to us regarding what the enemy is using to lead us away from God. So this morning, if you find yourself in a lonely place, because the enemy used fear tactics, he used doubt, he even used distractions, I want to remind us that God is calling us. Because when we go into a lonely place, sometimes we even leave the ministry that God has called us to do. We notice in the story, it tells us that Elijah left his servant. He wanted to be alone. That's a tactic of the enemy. He wants us to be by ourselves. Because by ourselves, we are easy target. We are easy prey. Many of us, we have left the church. Some of us don't even come on Zoom anymore. Because the enemy has caused us to move away from God. Again, we not only are in a lonely place because we leave the church gathering, the church body, but we blame God for what other people do to us. We leave God. This is not the time to leave God. This is the time when we should be drawing closer to him. The Bible tells, like, draw close to God and he will draw close to us.
Amen.
So the Spirit is calling us. If we find ourselves in a lonely place because of what the enemy is doing, come back. The same way God asked Elijah, what are you doing here? You have left your post. You have left your responsibility. God is saying the same thing to you and I today. Don't leave your responsibility. If the enemy's, like, you know, spewing threats, even if you are fearful, if the enemy is causing you to doubt or seeing a distraction, the Spirit is able to open your eyes to these things. And when the Spirit does, I implore you, my brothers and sisters, let us stay close to God. Let us call on God, because not only does he care for us, but he wants us to be part of his kingdom. And once we have tasted Christ, the Bible says, like, we become a spring of living water. So therefore, like, once we experience him, we can't help but to share Christ with others. So if you find yourself in a lonely place, remember that God is calling you from that lonely place into his presence, because he has a work for us to do. It's not enough for us to just come to church. It's not enough for us to be in these pews, but God has entrusted into our cares something that people need urgently to hear. The other day I was listening to the news. When I look, it's not good as usual. There are fires here. As a matter of fact, for weeks we've been dealing with, like, you know, like the remnant from the fire up in Canada. It's been like dark smoke. And when you're looking, like, storms everywhere, and, like, you know, like, you know, things are just going crazy. But we know, while they may point to certain things, we who have the truth, we know what's going on and the reason why these things are happening. This is a wake-up call for us to share with those out there. Yeah, the media may tell them one thing, but we need to point them back to God through his word to remind them that Jesus Christ loves you.
Amen.
He's coming back soon.
Yeah.
And these are signs that point to his imminent return.
Yes.
So my brothers and my sisters, simple message. If you find yourself in a lonely place today, God is calling you, saying, come out of that place, because this is not where I want you to be. And he has work for us to do.
Amen. Amen.